of the firmament.
He has.
Yeah.
Well, Yerah Boisai, continue our discussion about where to say L'dovid Hashem Ariv Yishi. We mentioned yesterday that those people who say it before Ashrei, or before lining, they gain, one of the gains that they have, besides saying Yud Gemul Midas in the place where you've got Yud Gemul Shemus of Hashem in L'dovid Hashem Ariv Yishi, but the gain, one of the gains that they have is that they gain that we don't have to make an extra Kaddish, especially for L'dovid Hashem Ariv Yishi. What's the Inyan of Ein Marbim B'Kaddishim? So the Inyan of Ein Marbim B'Kaddishim is brought down in Siman Nun Hei in the Mishnah Berurah Sif Aleph B'Shem the Knesset Agadoylo. The Knesset Agadoylo says as follows: K'shem she'ein marbim b'brochois, kach ein marbim b'Kaddishim. In the same way that you can't be marbim b'brochos, which means a person's eating a fruit salad, yeah, so he makes a bo priyagovit on, let's say, the grape, yeah, and he says, Rebbeinu Shlomo, a wonderful grape, I really enjoyed that, okay, now I'm going to eat a piece of orange, yeah, I want to make another bo priyagovit. Yeah, because I appreciate the Rebbeinu Shlomo gave me a nochazach, you know, another fruit. And then I'm going to have a piece of kiwi. And I'm going to make another bracha bo priyagovit. So we say you can't. There are rules and regulations. The Gemara speaks about a lotion of mishtamesh b'sharvitoi shel melech. Now, I'm using the scepter of the king. Right? I'm saying, Baruch ato Hashem elokeinu melech ha'olam. We have a love of lois hiso, but I'm allowed to use the Shem Hashem for brochas. But within limits, there are halochas. Same thing will go with brocha achrayno. Person will eat a few grapes and he'll say, Rebbeinu Shlomo, I want to say aloeitz, I'll pray aloeitz on that. Yeah? And then I'm going to carry on eating the other fruits. And then I'll make another aloeitz, I'll pray aloeitz, or I'll make another boru nefoshos, or whatever it is, over and over again. We don't allow. So the Chazal explain that the same thing is with Kaddishim. Kaddish is the highest form of Kedusha. Yeah, although it doesn't actually have a Shem Hashem in it. But Yehei Shemei Rabo Mevorach Lolal Malal Nehemiah is talking about the Shem Hashem. Yeah, and it's very, very what's going on. Therefore, the Kaddish is Shavito Shel Melech. We can't just make as many Kaddishim as you... I don't mean Kaddishim as in L'chaim and cake, yeah? But you can't say Kaddish as many times as you like. You can't keep adding Kaddishim one after the other just because. So if somebody will say, let's say, I don't know, there are people who say Kaddish after Tilim, yeah? So a person is going to say, I'll say one capital Tilim and a Chazun Kaddish. Now I'm going to say another capital Tilim and say Kaddish again.
See,
well, yeah, they don't do it after every capital. But after Amir's Tehillim, you can say Kaddish once, yeah, but you can't say after every capital another Kaddish. Therefore, this is the Inyan of Ein Marbim B'Kaddishim, right? Chazal told us when to say a Brocha, Chazal told us when to say a Kaddish. And therefore, one of the things that you fadin, if you say L'dovid Hashem Ariv V'Yishi before Ashrei, is that the Chatzi Kaddish can go on both of them, and you don't actually have to say an extra Kaddish, which in the two other places that we're going to discuss, you will be saying an extra Kaddish for the L'dovid Hashem.
Yaki, can you do the introduction?
Yeah, just about to do it.
Okay. Torahway, Northwest London, Ches Elul, 1st of September, Rav Shmuley Noish Lita, Year-Long Halachas of Zeicha L'Chorban, Part 2. This week's Torahway has been sponsored by Family Aronson, L'Chvay Simchas HaBar Mitzvah of Ami Aronson, which was on Shabbos Pasha Shoftim, Yerotzoin Sheyizku Hoyrov, Luzikainov, L'Roiv Nachas, Mimenu, and Mikol Yotze Chaluseim.
Morning to everyone, and a welcome back to anyone who just returned from the holiday. If you remember, before the holidays, towards the end of Chodesh Av, just after Tisha B'Av, we had a shiur where we discussed the halachas of Zeicha L'Churban. We actually only discussed one of the halachas of Zeicha L'Churban, which was the halacha of leaving an amma al amma unplastered and unpainted in a person's home. We discussed that this is based on the Gemara in the end of Perik Cheska Sabbatim. In Baal Basra, the last Omid of Samachim with Beis, the Gemara describes how people were very upset with the Churban and they decided to stop eating meat and stop drinking wine. And Rabbi Shua challenged them and said, if that's the case, then you can't drink water because of the loss of the Nisach HaMayim, and you can't have fruit because of the loss of Bikurim. And eventually they were stuck, and Ibshua told them, I will tell you and give you guidance in how to be misabel for the Khurban, which halachas you do need to keep, and which things are excessive. And Ibshua said the Lashon as follows, Om Elohim Bonai, my children, Boi V'Oim Elohim, if you come, I will tell you, Shloi Lis Abel Kol Ika Efshe. You can't just cancel Avelis, we have to do some sort of Avelis, but to do too much Avelis also is excessive, and it's a gzera that the Tzibor can't keep because it's too much. And therefore, Rabbi Shua sets forth a list of halachas that we have to keep the whole year round, not dafka in the 3 weeks or the 9 days, but the whole year round, halachas b'negeh to zeichel churban, halachas that are there to remind us the whole year round, for men, for children, for some halachas specifically for men, some for women, for children, halachas for houses, halachas for simchas, to remind us the entire year round that we have lost the Beis HaMikdash. So the first halacha which we discussed before the holiday was the halacha of Amal Amar, exactly where the Amar should go and how big, and various reasons why some people don't do the Amal Amar, etc. But there's other halachas which I would like to Imam Sheikh and continue with Imam Sheikh today. Now, you might have thought, as I did, that the boat has sailed, we've moved on. It's no longer Av, we're now moved into Elul, different things going on. It's a different season, and these halachas are no longer relevant for now. Maybe we should wait until next year, summer holidays time, to review them. But the truth is that, first of all, these halachas apply 365 days a year. They're not specifically halachas that apply to the month of Av. But more than that is that actually if we are misboining a little bit, we will realize that the month of Elul, and specifically the tefillahs of the Yom HaNeroim, of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, a huge amount of the tefillahs of the Yom HaNeroim focus on the loss of the Beis HaMikdash that we no longer have, and they focus on the tefillah for the Gola Hasida, the tefillah for the binyan of the Beis HaMikdash. And I'm just going to go through a few of them quickly. In the tefillahs of Maariv and Shachris and Mincha, of Shemoneh Esrei, of Rosh Hashanah, we say again and again, Uvechein Yiskadesh Shemcha, Al Yisrael Amechov, Al Yishlaim Erechov. We daven HaKadosh Baruch Hu should become, his name should be great, and Yiskadesh on Klal Yisrael and on Yishlaim. We say, Tzmichas Ken Ledovet Avdecho, Arichas Neil Venisha Meshichecho. We daven HaKadosh Baruch Hu that his name should become known again, the Mashiach should come. We daven Meloich Al Kuloi Bechvoidecho. And then we say, Gali Kvoid Malchuscha Aleinu Mehero. Many, many tefillahs which we're davening the whole way through Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, that actually are tefillahs focusing on the fact that we no longer have a Beis HaMikdash, and tefillahs that are davening for the return of the Beis HaMikdash. So, why is that? What's the shaykhahs between the loss of the Beis HaMikdash and Rosh Hashanah? We would have thought that Rosh Hashanah is a day of din, a day of judgment, and how does it come in that a huge part of the tefillahs on Rosh Hashanah are focused on the fact that we no longer have a Beis HaMikdash? Over the Emma says, right. So one pshat is that a chelik of the loss of the Beis HaMikdash is only because of our averus. And if Rosh Hashanah is a Yom Din, a day of judgment for how we've behaved and for the averus that we've done during the year, then a part of it is that our averus have been going the Khurban. So therefore, when it comes to Yom the Medin and days of Tshuva, then part of it is doubling that we should have kapara for our averus, and our averus that we're going to the Khurban should be accepted as a for tshuva, and maybe it will be zekah to the Beis HaMikdash again. But another pshat is that the ikkah of the tefillahs of Rosh Hashanah are not dafka for our own personal needs, and not only for the gashmis needs that we have. The ikkah of the tefillahs of Rosh Hashanah and the Yom Neroim are tefillahs for ruchnias, and tefillahs for HaKadosh Baruch Hu becoming known in the world, and being mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu on the whole world, and becoming better people in ruchnias. And therefore, the biggest lack that we have today in our ruchnias stems from the fact that we no longer have a Beis HaMikdash, and stems from the Khurban. If there would be a Beis HaMikdash, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name would be known across the whole world, both by Yidden and Lahavda by Goyim, and our avoid would be much better. So therefore, when it comes to the tefillahs of Rosh Hashanah, which are tefillahs for to be mamlich and HaKadosh Baruch Hu over the entire world, therefore makes sense that dafka on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, we daven that the Beis HaMikdash should come and the Geula should come. And in fact, the Abtur Rav writes in the Kutum Chadoshim, the end of Oiv Yisrael, he says, the main tefillah on Rosh Hashanah tzorech liyos, Dafka al binyan beis hamikdash shibone b'mheira b'yomenu v'al golas hashchina. The ikka tefillah on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur has to be on the fact that you no longer have a beis hamikdash, and that's why the whole way through the tefillahs of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, hidden through, if you open your eyes, you'll see a constant tefillahs for binyan beis hamikdash. I was thinking perhaps even the L'dovad Hashem Oiri that we say during the days of Elul, we say David HaMelech davened Acha she'altim eis Hashem oisa avakesh shifti beveis Hashem kol yimei chayei. David HaMelech davened that he should be zoicha to live in the Beis Hashem his whole life. Now what was the Beis Hashem that David HaMelech was referring to? What Beis Hashem did he want to live in his entire life? Now David HaMelech lived before the first Beis HaMikdash was built. It was only built by his son Shloimeh. So what was the Beis Hashem? So some say, the Siva Shalom says this, that David was davening that his house should be like a Beis Hashem. He wants his home and everything he's oisik in doing, and even the worldly things that David HaMelech was busy doing, he wants everything to be like a Beis Hashem, whether he's at work, whether he's at home, it should all be with Ruchnias. But the Lashon of the Targum Unklus on the words Beis Hashem, the Targum Unklus says that the Asav Beveis Magdasho Dashem Kolimechai. I want to live Beveis Magdasho Dashem. I want to live in the Beis Hamikdash of Hashem. So I don't know if it's literally referring to the Beis Hamikdash or it's referring to a bais which is Kodesh. But upon him, we see the tefillah of David HaMelech was to be able to spend his life in Beis Hamikdash, and that's the very tefillah we pick in Elul as a preparation for Shonim Kippur, the tefillah to be Zoicha to live Beveis Hashem Kolimechai. So if anything, the month of Elul, in preparation for Shonim Kippur, is a time of reminding ourselves even more the lack of a Beis HaMikdash, and the fact that we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, and the lack of Ruchnis that we have in our lives. So we're going to continue going through the Gemara in Bava Basra, some of the halachas, and it's interesting, you go through the halachas in the Gemara says that a person should make sure to keep, to remember the lack of a Beis HaMikdash, and we'll see some of them perhaps we've never even heard of, or we've heard of them, but we don't even keep. Usually when you go through a Gemara, which is brought down in Rambam on Shulchan Aruch, so we can go check, we do that. Over here, we're going to go through them one by one, and we'll see that some of them are mamish things that we don't bechlal keep, and the question is, why we don't keep them, and perhaps is there a way in which we do keep them? So, Amal we discussed already last time. The next halacha, which Rabbi Shua told his Talmidim in Daf Samach Amud Beis, he said, Oysa Odom Kol Tzorchei Suda. A person is allowed to prepare everything he needs for a meal, U'meshaya Dovamud, but always leave behind something in the meal as a Zeichel Achorban. That means when someone makes a meal, and he's serving all the foods, he should make sure to leave one thing behind. Mai, he says, what should he leave behind? Amar Papa, fill a kiss at the house, even a small fish, something small. You should always leave behind one small dish when you're making a meal. Which means, for example, if you go to a chasana and they're serving the main course, so there should be something missing on the plate. There should be no cabbage. And you should be sitting wondering, why is there no cabbage on my plate? And if you like cabbage, and then the answer would be, Zeichel Achorban. There's been a Achorban, so we're leaving something behind. And this halacha in Shulchan Aruch and Simon Tovkuf Samach, Shulchan Aruch says, V'chein Heskino, Sha'orech Shulchan Las Yisud L'Acheyim. Somebody prepares a meal for other people, Mechase Mimenu Ma'at. He has to do two things. Number one, leave one of the foods out of the menu. And number two, he should make sure also to leave a small space on the table as well. Mishabur explains that if there's no gap on the table, you won't realize there's a food missing. So make sure you miss out a food from the menu and make sure you leave a small space on the table. And this halacha psuka, which no one is choylik on, and Chai Odom already asks, why don't we keep this halacha? Well, none of us have ever heard, or we've heard of it, we've never been somewhere where there's been something missing, a dish missing from the menu, and we've been told, yeah, it's Zeichel Achorban, because you have to remember we're missing a Beis HaMikdash, and life isn't perfect the way it is. So, firstly, Shevet Talevi says that this halacha doesn't apply to every single lunch and supper that you have. You don't need to worry, you're going to come home and supper's going to be missing something essential from the menu. This halacha only applies to big meals that people are having. Lashon of the Shulchan Aruch is that someone who makes a suda lo'urchin, if you're making a big meal, because there's a lot more simch in a big meal, then miss something small out zeichel achorban. But it doesn't necessarily apply to a regular meal that a person has. Okay, so that might help us explain why on a regular day-to-day basis we don't miss out part of the food. Mishnah Berurah says,
be noticed if you missed out a small thing.
Oh, we're going to come to that. Yeah, that's you've hit the nail on the head. Yeah, you've hit the nail on the head. The Mishnah Berurah says We'll come to that in a second. The Mishnah Berurah says it doesn't apply to Shabbos and Yom Tov. When it comes to Shabbos and Yom Tov also, there's no Avelis on Shabbos and Yom Tov, there's no Zeicher L'Churban, and you can eat as much as you want Shabbos and Yom Tov, it doesn't need to be. But why don't we keep this halacha, at least when it comes to chasanus, or at least when it comes to big meals or big parties? So exactly as you said, the Aruch HaShulchan and the Kaf HaChaim both point out the same thing. They both say, if you would go to somebody's house nowadays, you wouldn't realize if they did or didn't miss out part of the meal. Or Hashulchan says, this is something which we've lost the understanding of the Seder, the menu, the different foods that were generally bought time and time again. And when one's missing, it would be noticed. Nowadays, it's not the way meals get served. It's not the way our menus are created and designed. And therefore, we wouldn't even notice. That's both Aruch HaShulchan and Kaf HaChaim say that's the reason why we don't keep this halacha nowadays. I do have a kash on that. Because if you went to someone's house Friday night and he didn't serve kegel, you would know about it, right? You would realize straight away there's something missing. Or if you went to a chasen and there's no soup being served, you would also realize there's something missing. Unless it would become the norm, there's no soup, and then you wouldn't realize anymore again. So there is room to think about, is there a way of doing it in a way that's noticeable? But like you say, the Achronim say, the reason why this second halach of Rabbi Shua isn't kept nowadays, and it's not something which we do, is because it would be difficult to create a way of realizing that there's a certain dish missing. There is, however, one halacha from this that the Zohar Kodesh and Parshas Truma speaks about, which we do keep nowadays. And the Zohar says that when a person has a meal, yes, it's true, we don't deduct one of the foods because, like you say, it's not noticeable. But when a person has a meal, he has to always make sure, b'shas, the meal that he's having, to remember there was a Beis HaMikdash, and to remember the Churban Beis HaMikdash. And the Zohar says, that's why when it comes to, the Zohar doesn't say, the Shlokot says, that's why when it comes to a Suda that we eat, on Shabbos, you always say, Sheh Malas, B'shuv Hashem, Eshiv Asiyo, and Yinuka Choymin, to remember there's a lack of a Beis HaMikdash. And in the weekdays, we say, Al Nariz Bovel, Shom Yashav, Nogam Bochino, B'zachin Yassiyoin, to remember the Beis HaMikdash, Peshas, we have a meal. Now the reason for the difference in why in the weekdays do we say Al Nares Bovel, and on Shabbos we say B'shuv Hashem Hashem Hashem, is because the weekdays a person can be more B'tzar. And Al Nares Bovel is a more sad kind of capital of Tehillim about the lack of the Churban. Whereas She'amal is B'shuv Hashem 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 is more of a happy capital Tehillim where we think about the return, where Kalis are going to go back. And therefore on Shabbos we say B'shuv Hashem Hashem Hashem, and in the weekdays we say Al Nares Bovel. Some of the Minig, Baal Shem Tov and others, the whole week round they always said Shem Al-Shav Hashem. Question is why? Others say Chassidim wants to be Besimcha even during the week, or not only on Shabbos, and therefore they said Shem Al-Shav Hashem even during the week, or not only on Shabbos. So that is one halacha that we actually do have nowadays, B'shas the meal. At least on Shabbos everyone says Shem Al-Shav Hashem Hashem Hashem. And in the weekdays some people say even Al Nares Bovel as well, based on the Zoya halacha that we do remember B'shas the Achila, the Indian of the Chum Beis HaMikdash. Okay, moving on to the next one. The third halacha that Yeshua taught us. Again, another halacha that if you look at it, something which perhaps we haven't even heard of, and if we've heard of it, something which none of us, or our wives, or our daughters, or the mishpacha, don't bechlal keep. And the halacha is as follows. The next halacha Yeshua says is, Oysa isha kol tachshiteo. A lady can put on all her jewelry, u'mshayeres dovamut, but she should make sure to leave behind one piece of jewelry. Mahi, which piece of jewelry should she leave behind? Omerav Bastida, even a small hairpin she should leave behind and not wear all her jewelry at the same time. This halacha psuk on Shulchan Aruch, again in Siman Tovkuf Samach, Shulchan Aruch says, "Kshe isha oisa tachshita kesev azov," when she puts all her jewelry on, "Mashira min mimine hatachshit shenegas behem kedei shleyer tachshit shalim," leave behind one piece of jewelry. And again, it's halacha which isn't kept. Which ladies do we know that will choose between a necklace and a bracelet and leave one behind because of Zeichel HaChorban? Or they won't wear earrings together with the necklace because of Zeichel HaChorban? It's a halacha which kemat isn't kept. And the question is, why? Why don't we keep this halacha bechlal nowadays? So a few different reasons are given for the lack of keeping this halacha nowadays. Reb Chaim Kanievsky, in Shoin Halachas, he says that the halacha specifically applies to someone wearing all their jewelry. There's no halacha they have to keep off your earrings or keep off your bracelet or keep off your necklace. Halacha is that if a lady has loads of jewelry, she should always make sure to take one piece of jewelry off in order to remember the Churban. Now, most ladies have enough jewelry that they're never going to be wearing all the jewelry at the same time. You can only practically wear one necklace and one pair of earrings at the same time. Shabkhamgevsky held that therefore we automatically cheat this halacha by not actually putting on all our jewelry at the same time. Reb Falk, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, had a different mahalach. He said that this halacha doesn't apply nowadays. The olden days, he says, wearing jewelry was a big thing, and it was a big simcha. So putting on your jewelry required you to keep one piece off to remember the Churban. However, nowadays, says Reb Falk, that wearing jewelry is just like leaving your house and putting a shaitel on or putting your shoes on. It's part of the clothes that a lady wears when she leaves her home and shouldn't be seen without her jewelry on. And therefore, there's not so much simcha. The halachas of Zecher L'Churban are that a person should, b'shas the simcha, alias shalom, arosh simchasi, he should make sure to do something to remind himself that our simcha isn't complete nowadays. Nowadays, putting on jewelry doesn't cause too much simcha, and therefore a lady doesn't need to reduce the amount of jewelry that she wears. This is a third mahalach, why we don't keep this halacha nowadays, and that is because some say this halacha only applies to if a lady has a set of jewelry, like matching earrings, matching bracelet, matching necklace, then she has to keep one of the set away in order to remember Yerushalayim. But it's not referring to the parts of jewelry that she wears. If she has a full set of jewelry that covers every piece of jewelry she wants to wear, then she has to take away one piece of jewelry in order to remember Yerushalayim. But that's the second halacha for today, to keep part of the jewelry away, which again we don't keep nowadays for various reasons. But there's one very interesting thing the Mishnah Berurah does say in Siman Tovkov Samach Benegeir to this. It's based on the Shlach Kodesh. He says as follows. He says, ladies that wear their full jewelry, besides the problem of Zecher L'Churban, goyimin levad ze rois rabois me'umay sa'olam ha'meskanim bohem. They cause jealousy from the umay sa'olam, from the nations that see them walking around full with expensive jewelry, and therefore he says it's something which a person shouldn't do, to walk around bejeweled in expensive jewelry. It causes the Umas Ha'olam to be jealous, and the Mishnah Berurah in Shaar Tzion bases it on a Rashi in Parshas Miketz, where Yaakov Avinu said to his children, Lomat Yisro, Rashi has a few shot on what that means. Yaakov Avinu's children wanted to go down to Mitzrayim because of the famine. Rashi says, Be'etzen, they had food to eat anyway, and they didn't need to go to Mitzrayim to get food for the family. But Loma Tisro, why should you show yourselves in front of your non-Jewish neighbors as being affluent and having plenty of food available when it's going to cause them jealousy, and therefore go down to Mitzrayim even though it's not necessary? So Mishnah Berurah builds from this that besides the Zecher L'Churban, also to show too much affluence is also an issue. Kliokok, you do as much about people in Golos that show too much affluence, and the Peleoitz writes that this caused the Churban sometimes. Sometimes it caused the, he says in Spain, it caused the Spanish Inquisition because the Goyim were jealous of the success and the affluence of the Eden. And therefore, Mishnah Berurah says from this that one should try and reduce and be mamad. I'm happy the camera is not working. Maybe it is, but it is now. Okay, I've always wondered, you know, especially the older generation, if you wear talis in the street, often an older person, someone who has a more of a shachas to the Golos, will tell you off and will say, this is not okay, we're in Golos. We need to remember that living amongst the Goyim, we shouldn't stick out too much. And the Mishnah Berurah doesn't mention the word talis, but the idea of not sticking out too much, b'shas we're amongst the Goyim. I've wondered what the Gedolei Yisrael say about wearing a talis in the streets. The Ramah speaks about it, but als living amongst the Goyim, not dafka als upsetting them. But Punkla last week, I was looking through a sefer called Toras Modcha, the Toras of the Vizhet Rebbe of Monsi, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, was nifted a few years ago. And he writes, I have chassidim who walk with talisim on Shabbos, I don't like it, I'm unhappy about it. We have to remember we live in Golos, we have to remember we're not here to be too at home and too comfortable. If you feel too comfortable where you are, then we forget that the world's incomplete and our ruchnis is incomplete. And therefore, even in Williamsburg, he says, I don't want you to wear your talis in the street when you're walking down the road. And he quotes a list of chassidish rebbes, including the Devriel of Satmar, that when they went to certain neighborhoods, they didn't wear their shtramel on Shabbos, they took their shtramel off. I was surprised, Faket, Chassidim wanted to show that even amongst the Goyim. So Faket, Satmar Rebbe took his tramel off when he went to certain places on Shabbos in order not to stick out too much amongst the Goyim. So I don't know what's right and wrong, but the Gedank of Lomot Yisro and the Gedank of the Tachshitim, which the Mishnah Berurah points out, is I don't wear my tramel on Shabbos when I go amongst. But upon the Gedank of not sticking out too much amongst the Goyim, at least in affluence, is something which the Mishnah Berurah says b'shem b'shlo, and it goes back to the Peliot and the Kliyoka and earlier as well. So that's the second halacha that we have b'negeir to Zecher L'Churban, is reducing tachshitim or reducing too much of a show of affluence between the Goyim. Third halacha, which we'll discuss today, also in the Gemara and Daf Samach Amud Beis, the Gemara says, "My arush simchasi." What does it mean? They have to be ales yishlam arush simchasi. This refers to the head of the chosin, that b'shas the chasana, you should put efer mikle, a little bit of ash on the head of the chosin, b'shas the chasana. Again, a chas is the time of simcha. We try to reduce the amount of simcha in order to remember that our simcha isn't fully complete. Now, how much ash do you have to put? Do you have to put like a kezias or kebay or revias? So they bring up, so like a fish said, even one dot. You don't have to smear the whole head of the chosin with ash. Even one tiny dot. So like a fish used to take a little finger and put it on the head of the chosin, and that with that he was yotze the efer mikle. Do you have to leave it there? Do you have to not leave it there? There's also machloikas. Some people say, Chashulchan says you could just brush it off. Put it there, and then brush it off, and that's the zeichel l'churban. Others say, no, you have to leave the ash until after the chuppah. Once the maimed of the chuppah is over, then you can remove the ash from the head of the chosin. Now, that's the ash by the chosin. Shabur mentions, not in the Gemara, it's the Ramah based on the Kolboy, that besides that, we do something else to remember the churban at every simcha, and that is you break a glass at the chuppah. And Mishabur says, at the engagement, you also break a plate. Now, the minhag olam is to take a plate which is made out of porcelain or cheres, a kli cheres, and to smash it at the tanoim. And it's the mothers that do it. And at the chuppah, to take a glass, and it's the chosin that does it. And the question is, why are these two differences? Why does the chosin break a glass, and why do the parents break a plate? So, the simple pshat is, because a glass is worth much more than a cheap plate. And at the engagement, there's only a small amount of simcha. So all you need to do to reduce a small amount of simcha is to break a cheap kli cheres. When it comes to the chasana, which is much bigger, much more simcha, you have to break a glass, which is more expensive. That's one pshat. Sorry?
It's not more expensive.
Isn't it? Yeah, you're right. Because nowadays, you can buy a cup for a few pence, you can buy a glass cup, exactly. and a porcelain plate can be more expensive even. Maybe this was the times of Chazal, where cheres was cheaper and glass. Nowadays maybe it's changed. I saw another pshat, a very interesting pshat. Lekutim Ariach brings this, B'Shem the Gro, and some bring it B'Shem the Baal Shem Tov. So both the Baal Shem and the Gro both said the same thing. They said that to break a tanoim, to break off an engagement, to terminate an engagement, is something which requires a lot more care than to break off a chasana. The Torah tells us, if somebody's unhappy for whatever reason, shama basil, but a kapona person can give a get. But we don't have anywhere in the Torah that discusses clearly breaking off a tanoim. And both the Gro and the Baal Shem said that to break off a tanoim is more chomor than to break off. I'd always heard, again, I hope the camera's off, that there are some chassidim that will get married knowing that the marriage isn't going to last. A few weeks ago, someone told me, married, knowing the marriage wasn't going to last because it's better to do a divorce than to break a tanoim. This is Bazushte in Lekutim Ariach, right at the end of Chele Gimel, in Seyde Nisun, B'Shem the Gro, that to break off a tanoim, which we don't have a Masoira for in the Torah, exactly how to do it, and an agreement, is worse and requires more zahiras than a chasana. As I state. So therefore, kli cheres is something which can't be fixed. When you smash something which is porcelain, it can't be fixed. Mashiach in a glass can always be melted and remade together again. What's the word?
Recycled.
And made again. So therefore, tanoim, which is more difficult to break, we use a plate. Whereas when it comes to chasana, which is easier, we use a glass which can be recycled. And the reason why one is the chasana, one is the parents, is because the tanoim, it's not the chosin simcha so much, because it's not yet his chasana. The parents are happy, Bokshan they've made the shuddach, Mashegim, when it comes to the chasana, that's the chosin simcha, and therefore it's the chosin himself who is the one who breaks the plate. One final halacha which we'll discuss today is based on the Mishnah in Soita. It's the last sif in Shulchan Aruch, Tovkov Samach, is Osa Le'odom Shimale Pivs Choik Bo'ilem Azeh. Again, check, do we keep this one? Another one. It's Osa for a person in this world to fill his mouth with laughter. Now, some people actually do keep this very well. You won't find them smiling, you won't find them laughing ever. But most of us, hopefully, you know, laughter and smiling is a part of life. But have we ever thought before we laugh and smile, am I allowed to, am I not, what yes, what not? So what's going on over here? So two achronim give an interesting geder, which probably we do keep automatically, exactly which laughter would be mutter, which laughter would be also. Achashochan says, it's dafka for your oisik b'schoik zman merubah. It doesn't mean you can't have a quick laugh or quick chuckle or smile. It means if somebody's just laughing and laughing and laughing for an extended period of time, In English, it's called when somebody's got, he's got the giggles, right? So that's something which you can't really control. But somebody who's laughing and laughing too much for an extended period of time, says the Aruch HaShulchan, that would be the geder of Osa La'odim Shemale Piv Schoik Bo'ilim Hazeh. Kavachan, also in Tovkov Samach, has a different geder. He says there's a chilik between Schoik Piv and Schoik Halev. Person's allowed to feel happy, and he's even allowed to smile and laugh, but in English there's a word beginning with a G. Guffaw or something, when somebody absolutely bursts out in a massive, massive laugh. That says the kafacham. That when it says osel odm shim male piv is this huge big laugh on like a good belly laugh. That says the kafacham is something which is osel for persons to do by olam hazeh. But a regular normal laugh, which we all do, would be something which is mutar. I'll just finish off with a Tana de Be'eliyahu. Mesillas Yeshayahu quotes the Tana de Be'eliyahu, who says. He says, "Kol chacham v'chacham Yisrael sheyesh be'divrei Torah." Any chacham in Klal Yisrael has any Torah inside him, and who gives a groan on the lack of kavod v'Hakadosh Baruch Hu in this world, the lack of recognition of the Torah and the supremacy of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he's waiting and wants the Beis Hamikdash and Yerushalayim. He says, "Miyad shoyra ruach hakodesh bekirboy." Just automatically by realizing that the world isn't the way it needs to be, and the world isn't the way it should be. Automatically he gets a certain Ruach HaKodesh, a certain Kedusha on him, because he's lifted himself up from the tomb of this world to realizing that the world isn't entirely perfect. The Mashal writes, in the end of Cheska Sabbatim, the Mashal says it's not just enough to keep these halachas, just kmitzas anoshim elemuda, so to have an amal amah and to break a glass and to do the things that we keep. He says a person actually has to say, b'shas he's doing it, I'm doing this because there's no Beis HaMikdash, I'm doing this to remember there's a churban. And he says that's the lashon of the pasuk. The pasuk says, imloy eskerechi, imloy ales eshelan. The lashon of the pasuk is, tidbak l'shoyni l'chiki, that my tongue should stick to my cheek if I don't remember Yerushalayim. What's my tongue got to do with it? Says the Mashal, the tongue has to do with it because b'shas a person keeps these halachas. Don't just go and do it without any thought, because then you're not even remembering the Beis HaMikdash. Do it and say b'shas you walk past the Amal Amah, or when you say Al Naris Bovel, or when you break a glass. Do it and remember that l'maisa there's a lack and there's something missing in our world. Yitzchak Moshe, famously before Tkiyas, he used to say as follows. He used to say that every single year, all the kings, all the malachim, they stand before HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Rosh Hashanah, and they have a din. And the Melech HaMashiach also comes, and he also stands there. And he also wants to know, will we have a Geula? Will we not have a Geula? Will the Beis HaMikdash be built this year? Will the Beis HaMikdash not be built this year? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him, it's not up to me, it's up to Klal Yisrael. If Klal Yisrael do tshuva, and if Klal Yisrael return, then Mitzvah Hashem, it will be your turn this year as well, for the Melech HaMashiach to come. So Mitzvah Hashem, we should be zoicha to know these halachas and keep the ones the minig of Klal Yisrael is taket to keep. It will bring a kedusha on ourselves, like Tom Dibeliyahu says. And in Mitzvah, that's chus this year, Kach Baruch will be able to answer to the Melech HaMashiach that yes, finally, it will be his turn to come as well.
So, you said at the beginning, a bowl on the table. Besides, this is how you said something about.
You should leave a space on the table as well, like a gap, to show that there's a dish
gap
missing.
On the table.
Yeah, to show there's a dish missing. Which again is not something which we do. So Aruch HaShulchan says we don't know what these things mean, and therefore it's not something
talking
which we.
About Shabbat, I'm a bit older than all of you. I want to help him. I remember as a child. If he has to go to a kiddush to Mutz, for example, he's left someone at home and he changed his white socks.